This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies, looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Visit CropMetcalf.com and you can join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop, Johnny Cakes Auville, and Eric Bickle. That is the foursome. We have Coach Peter Laviolette coming up at 7:45. Don't want to miss that. Playoffs. Yes, the NHL playoffs start May 2nd. The Caps will be in the playoffs, hopefully a long playoff run. We'll talk to the coach later this hour. Then at 8 o'clock, we will unveil each of our mock drafts through 11 picks.
Yeah.
If any of you guys went 32 deep and did the first round, I just did 11.
Who am I, Ryan Wilson? I'm going to keep coming out with new mocks.
We just did 11.
Yeah,
just 11 picks.
That's all.
So that's coming up at 8 o'clock. But we wanted to bring up something Commanders-related. Our pal Ben Standig, who's with The Athletic, reported yesterday that the Commanders are not expected to offer defensive lineman Daron Payne an extension. He's in the final year of his rookie deal. They did exercise his fifth-year option. It's a little surprising given that first-round pick, he's produced. Mm-hmm. He's been pretty good. And they let Ioannidis go, and they let Settle go.
Yeah.
So they don't have the defensive tackle depth that they had. Are they just going to let this guy go, or they're just going to wait and see if they can get him a deal afterwards?
Oh, I don't. I think the fact that they haven't extended him yet makes it look like they don't have plans to have him in the future.
Aren't there people suggesting they might trade him during the draft to get more picks?
I've heard that.
Part of the deal.
If he's not in your future plans, you absolutely should trade him during the draft or should have traded him already.
I know guys like GP have said that, you know, you can't give him and Allen big money, you know, and so that when they decided to give money to Allen,
that was the decision
facto,
on Payne.
Yeah, you just can't allocate money like that.
And plus, there's
there's friction between the two.
Yeah, I mean, there's tension
makes
there.
Sense. I've heard, you know, kind of different stories about it, but I've heard that they don't get along.
Right.
So yes. I don't know how you can sign a guy like Payne.
Different kind of guys.
To an extension and put him alongside Allen, who you just signed to an extension for 5 years.
Allen's already getting paid.
Right.
Like, you're going to extend and complicate your salary cap even more with two guys who don't really get along with each other.
They were fighting for 5 minutes in the locker room.
Yeah. Like, I'm fine with moving on from him, but you need to get the maximum value back in return for that asset. Daron Payne is an asset. Like, they're treating him like, okay, we'll just take a compensatory pick, and that'll be sufficient.
I don't think so. I think that there's a plan.
I'd like to know what the plan is.
Maybe to trade him.
Well, maybe Ron will call you and tell you what it is.
I mean, he is JP's friend, his close personal friend that he met out at TPC
Well,
Avenue.
Let me ask you this. If the plan is to trade him, either, and there's two options. You're going to trade him before the draft to maximize your value, or you trade him right before the trade deadline. I would think that if you're going to maximize your value, which means getting extra picks, you would do it in the next 24 hours.
I would guess. Might happen. He's a good piece to add some picks.
If they do trade Daron Payne, Standig points out that there's one guy out there that seems to be the perfect fit for depth-wise. Don't really know anything about him, except He's a former Carolina Panthers defensive tackle.
Of course he's a former Panther.
Star Lotulelei. And, of course, he also spent 4 years in Buffalo. Right. That is the dream guy. Like,
if you haven't played for the Bills or the Panthers, Ron and company, they're basically not interested in you. So that makes all the sense in the world that it has a Buffalo slash Carolina connection. JP, tell your friend Ron Rivera, there are other players available to pick from.
I'm not going to say we've had a falling out, but I haven't really talked to him since the golf outing.
Just a good ongoing bit.
Yes.
I'll be honest with you. I think the Commanders, they don't like when the media criticizes them. We've been very critical because, you know, look, win will jump on your bandwagon like you wouldn't believe. Lose and you know, be disappointing and have crazy off-the-field stuff happen every day, well, we're going to comment on it.
What gives you that impression? The fact that J.P. Finley was broadcasting from the back of his pickup truck a few days ago outside of the complex?
I just know that certain people don't interact with us anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I heard a bunch of these guys on when they announced their new radio deal, and someone made the comment about, now we're on a real radio station now.
Mm, right.
So, a nice shot.
Right.
I would love to know who said that.
Oh, you would?
I'll tell you.
Okay. All we do is speak the truth.
Yeah.
Right. Of course.
They don't like the truth.
No, do you want your current depth chart at defensive tackle?
Need the depth chart. Yes, I would like to hear it.
So Jonathan Allen, Dron Payne are starting interior linemen.
Right.
Obviously, Montez Sweat. By the way,
this used to be a source of strength, allegedly, for this team.
So you had Ioannidis and Settle. Just take a guess. Can you name one other defensive lineman on the depth chart?
I heard Grant and Danny rattling off the names yesterday, but they're so nubby, I've already forgotten all of the names. Oh, I think one guy's name is Weiss. Is there a Weiss?
Well, no, I see on this depth chart that I'm looking at, David Bada.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Is one. He's German.
Okay. Oh, so he's like one of these international developmental players?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Probably Pops. I'm guessing Pops was in the military.
All right.
I'm trying to look where he played in college, though.
Doesn't matter. Who are the other names? Who are the other names?
Tyler Clark. Okay. Familiar with Tyler Clark?
I'm not.
Those are the interior linemen. Then you still have James Smith-Williams on the outside and Casey Tuhill. But it's the bad on Clark, and maybe they're fine in terms of depth, but you were used to having Ioannidis and Settle. Clark played at Georgia. Don't think he was drafted.
By the way, is this also now opening up the possibility? I might need to scratch out who I wrote down for the mock draft. Does this open up the possibility of the Coms trading down out of 11s? Maybe somebody wants to come up and grab Malik Willis. Maybe the Steelers want to trade. Trading down into 15-20 range and grabbing another defensive lineman. Maybe it does if you're not going to extend Daron Payne.
It's a possibility,
now,
I guess.
Now what was a strength for your team, and I use that loosely because the defense wasn't very good, has now become a pretty thin area of your defense outside of Allen and Payne. Like, there's no depth there. None.
It's really weird how that's gone from a strength to a fairly
thin
area.
So Ron can walk into, you know, the Marty's and say, you know, hey, the defensive line is looking pretty thin. Maybe we grab a defensive lineman in the top 20.
I also see Daniel Wise on the depth chart.
That's the guy whose name
I looked at our lad. So first I looked at ESPN, but again, we've been familiar, and that was supposedly one of the strengths that, oh, well, you can rotate in Ioannidis, you can rotate in Settle, these guys stay fresh. You know, maybe they have confidence.
What if they traded down and Jordan Davis is just barking at you, staring at you right there?
Because he's a Georgia Bulldog.
Well, I mean, he's just huge, good athlete for his size. He's 350, 360 pounds. I mean, he's going to go first round. I've seen mocks where he went top 10, top 12.
Maybe if Payne is not in your future plans, he doesn't appear to be.
I tell you, dude, J.P. Finley tweeted this yesterday, you know, and I responded to him. My typical response. He said, as Drake London and Kyle Hamilton emerge as most likely picked for the Commanders at 11, I keep reminding myself that Jamin Davis surprised me and most people last year. You never know. Right. And my response, everyone lies. So there's no way, no one, literally no one tells you who they're going to draft.
Of course.
Why would you do that?
You wouldn't.
Cakes, I stand corrected. I thought David Bada, German,
uh-huh.
and played probably in college
right.
here.
Right.
I'm looking at David Bada. He played in the German Football League for the Munich Cowboys, then the Ingolstadt Dukes, and then the Schwabish Hall Unicorns.
Okay.
Did win a German Bowl in 2018. That's your depth right now at defensive tackle.
I mean, chances are Allen's not going to get traded. I would, you know.
Yeah, but
I'm confident they're not going to trade him in the next day.
You mean
probably
Payne?
Not.
I'm sorry. Who did I say?
Allen.
Yeah, Payne.
Yeah. But they might trade him as they get closer to the deadline.
Maybe,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But my point is that you bring up like this guy, who's the guy, the 350-pound
Jordan
guy,
Davis.
Yeah, Jordan Davis. They might draft if he's available. They might draft him just because we haven't heard his name.
Well, he'll definitely be available at 11, I would think. But uh-huh. I don't know if you want to take him that high.
Yeah, if they think it's the right value.
Yeah,
there have been a few people who've tweeted us that they should draft Davis.
Mm-hmm.
It's Maybe. Not the last. It's not the first time I've heard it.
I'm convinced they think that Samuel's going to be ready. I keep saying this. That they're pretty set at receiver. They don't feel that same burning need that like Cakes and I do, and a lot of the fan base to add another receiver.
I know it's great. It's crazy to actually want to layer more talent to your offense in an offensive driven league.
But everyone lies.
Defensive players.
So even
first.
Though Washington says, "Yeah, we're pretty content with our receivers,"
that's true.
I don't necessarily believe that.
All right. So here's the question: we can dive into this next. Let's just assume, and it's a big assumption. They do address wide receiver.
Right.
Where do you want them to go next? 800-636-1067. So if you have to address depth for the Commanders, you take care of wide receiver at one, where are you going next? We'll take some of your calls next here on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Day away from the NFL draft. We've got our official mock drafts coming up at 8 o'clock. Don't want to miss that. We are competing against each other. Each of us picked the first 11 picks. Of course, Commanders go 11. A lot of people think they're going to go wide receiver. And we're just going to make the assumption for this conversation that they go wide receiver with that first pick.
Which I don't necessarily think they're going to. I mean, do
they
you?
Might not. Yes, I do.
You do.
It's 50-50.
I hope they do.
I think they're considering it, but I think if a certain player is there at 11, I think they're going to grab him. I know. He does not play wide out.
I don't think it's their biggest need by any stretch.
The question we want to tackle now is, what do you want to see them do beyond wide receiver? What do you want to see them attack with priority? If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. I'll lead off, and it is certainly not glamorous, but I'm looking at an offseason where they lost Brandon Scherff, which we expected, and they also lost a guy who turned out to be valuable for them in Ereck Flowers. So I think they need to boost that offensive line, and I understand they need linebackers, they need safeties, they need corners. I'm addressing that offense. You got Carson Wentz there. Give him a wide receiver and give him a little more protection. Let's get some offensive line depth because you lost Scherff and Flowers, two starters.
So,
you want a guard or you want a tackle? Doesn't matter.
They
probably
like versatile
best available.
Guys.
I know they brought in what is Norwell a tackle? Remember they signed
Norwell's a guard.
He's a guard. So maybe I'm going to focus on a tackle.
Oh, okay.
But let me just take the best offensive lineman available in the second round. So that's what I would do.
It's not super specific because there is a big difference between taking a tackle and a guard.
I think they need both, though.
I think, let's see, their starting tackles right now in their depth are Leno and Cosme.
Yeah.
They still have Sadiq Charles sitting there, too. I mean, they drafted pretty high a couple years ago.
If you want to be super specific, I'll take a guard who can also play a little center. Versatile.
Like a swing guy.
Yes.
They like those guys that are versatile, for sure. All right, so that's fine. I mean, whatever. If you're assuming that we take receiver, and so that basically you're saying with our second round pick, where are we going with
47,
our second round?
Number 47.
47-ish. Yes. I might jump into the corner. I think they've been disappointed with St. Juste. I mean, you don't want to be forced to play Corn Elder. We were on the brink of playing Apke at times last year. I think if you could find... You know, a corner that you could start right away in the second round. St. Juste they took last year, what, in the third round?
Third rounder, yeah.
Yep.
And so, you know, he had flashes, but I think that's another position where they need to add some depth.
Yeah, or if, you know, they're talking about Hamilton possibly at 11, maybe the Daxton Hill kid, who's a safety from Michigan, slips to 47. I've seen mocks where he goes late first, early second. Maybe he is still there at 47. You can jump on him. Now, he's not 6'4 like Hamilton is. He's smaller, but he's a lot faster. So that could be a possibility. I don't know. I think it, you know.
What would you do? You're the GM. Second round.
If Daxton Hill's there, I'll probably take Daxton Hill.
I'm going to double down on what he said.
Help the secondary out.
They're so paper thin at corner with St. Juste and Danny Johnson. They need another guy to at least play nickel or provide some depth. I'm definitely drafting a corner. If they've gone offense in the first round. I can't do back-to-back defensive picks for a team.
That's malpractice.
Has screaming needs on offense.
Right.
I don't believe that maybe that the front office thinks that they're okay at wide receiver, even if Curtis Samuel is healthy and plays in 12-plus games. I don't think they're good enough. I think they need more help.
Let me ask you this. What if they take a receiver or they get Hamilton right there at 11, whoever you want there?
Yeah.
And then, you know, one of those quarterbacks is just sitting there at 47.
In the second round?
Yep.
Like Matt Corral,
I mean, Pickett,
Sam Howell.
Corral, Howell, any of those guys.
Not interested.
Do you take a chance? Just
why would you wait till next year? In my opinion, why would you gamble on a second round quarterback who obviously has flaws?
I know.
Slipped in the second round in a weak quarterback
class.
Because
you would. Because
you're not 100% sold that Carson's going to be the guy moving forward.
They're definitely not sold on Carson. Yeah. But. They need help right away to win. They need to win right away.
Yeah.
And they need to surround Carson.
Look, I'm
with
not
the best
saying it's
going to
happen. I would bet against it. I'm just saying if all those guys, let's just say Willis is the only guy that goes in the first round and all those other QBs are just sitting there at 47, you certainly got to ponder it.
Ron has shown a disdain for young quarterbacks.
I know.
He's dipped his toe in the Fitzpatrick pool that blew up in his face. Now he's getting Carson Wentz. If Carson Wentz blows up in his face too, he'll just find another veteran quarterback.
Yeah, you might be right.
Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. You can call us on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Assuming wide receiver is taken care of, what do you want to see the Commanders do next in the draft.
All right, let's go to Chris in Lusby. Chris, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkie.
Hi, Junks. How you guys doing this morning?
Hello. Good.
Hey, Chris.
Chris.
Hey. Getting back to the Daron Payne question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that deal was soured last year. Obviously, there's friction there between
Allen and Payne, yep.
Exactly, and they can't afford both of them. We don't have a middle linebacker. Mm-hmm. We're going to lose Payne, who is a very good player, and they've got to do something about that. You're right on the cornerbacks. I totally agree with you, and I know the proclivities of you guys with skill players, but it's still a team sport. And they've got to figure out, if they got a rookie deal on a guy for the interior defensive line, that would be great. And I agree with everything that's said about the offensive line as well. We're thin, you know? Mm-hmm. So trading down out of 11 to get more picks, I'm all in for more picks.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, Mark Mayhew basically said that during one of the pressers. He said he doesn't expect them to just wind up with the 6 picks that they currently have.
Right.
But I'm all about that. Move around the draft board, maneuver, pick up extra picks where you can, get 9 or 10 picks.
The problem is, everyone wants to trade down in this draft.
Sure.
Literally everyone wants to do it, and so I don't think it's going to pan out. I hope they can.
Well, and think about it, and we talked about this yesterday. There are 8 teams, I believe, 8. I think I got that wrong yesterday. I think I said 6. I think there are 8 teams that have multiple first-round picks in this draft.
Yeah.
I don't know if we've ever seen that.
And those guys will be the ones that feel the most comfortable being able to trade down because they already have one.
Unless they got their eye on somebody special and they got that extra first round and they can give it away. But, yeah, I would think there's going to be 2, 3, 4 trades moving down out of the first round because of that.
All right, let's go to Noah in D.C. Noah, what's up, man? You're on with the Junkies. Hey, buddy. That's you, Noah. All right.
You're on defense.
What is it, kid?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Can't do kid calls.
Might have been listening on delay. Too.
All right, let's go to Dave in College Park. Hey, Dave, what's up, man?
What's up?
What's up?
What do you got?
Hey, so I feel they got to go strictly offense the first couple rounds. You got to go receiver and maybe left guard. And if you're not, trade back to. But to me, I think you got to go after a left guard or receivers. You can never have enough offense in this league, and don't even think about a quarterback until like 5th, 6th, 7th round, because Taylor's your clear backup. You clearly know this is a bad draft for quarterbacks. Why even waste that? Mm-hmm. You need to surround Carson with every ounce of offense you can. This, you can't count on Samuel until he proves he can be out there. So you got to try to hit on some of these receivers. I just don't like the options we have. And so to me, you got to give him every opportunity. Taylor's a good backup, so a quarterback just does not make any sense.
Okay.
So it's got to be like a left guard or a receiver. If you get like a major opportunity to get like a Stanley or a Hamilton, then okay, fine. But, other than that, man, we need offense big time.
Right. I'm telling you, I think they have Samuel. They think they have McLaurin. They still probably like De'Ami Brown. They like Sims, obviously, and they like Dax Milne. I'm telling you, I think they look at their receivers, and none of them are overwhelming other than McLaurin.
Dax Milne. I mean,
because he's their guy. That's the only reason why.
He's a 7th rounder.
But he's their guy.
Yeah, no, but you can upgrade. You can still upgrade.
You should always be looking to upgrade. They always get better.
Put it this way. If you drafted, let's just say you drafted Wilson or Williams, whoever you got, he could arguably be your best receiver. And I'm including McLaurin.
Sure.
All right. And if he's not your best, then he's your second best.
Then it pushes everybody else down. And it pushes some of the fringe guys. Sorry, this is cold, but this is the NFL. It pushes some of the fringe guys out the door.
Listen.
Like, you shouldn't have to be relying on Dax Milne.
And I get I get where Dave is going. Don't waste a pick on a quarterback in the second round. I get it. I'm just throwing it out there as a possibility. But it's really pointless to draft one in the 5th or 6th round. That's a complete waste.
Completely agree.
Yeah, because you got your backup.
Yeah.
Don't burn a pick that you could get, extra defensive player or special teams player at 5, 6.
Well, except don't take a quarterback. You do want to have somebody as your third that maybe you could, because then you do end up sometimes in situations where all of a sudden now you have Gibby Gilbert playing quarter, or whatever the guy's name was.
Garrett Gilbert.
But I don't know.
Gibby Gilbert.
Whatever his name
Gibby
was.
Gilbert better.
I think for this particular team, it's a waste.
Quarterback.
Now listen, Cakes, you will see. I'll tell you right now, I'm picking a receiver tomorrow for the Commanders.
Size
it doesn't matter who goes in front of me. It could be five receivers taken. I'll take the sixth one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking a receiver because I want to add that piece.
Uh-huh.
I'm just thinking, I think they like their guys more than we do.
I like that thinking. I'm so upset that I didn't save this quote that I saw about the Commanders front office from The Athletic from a few weeks ago. But paraphrasing, it basically said that the Commanders front office, including Ron Rivera, all they try to do is eke out 20-17 wins or 17-14 wins. That's how they're building. That's how he's trying to build this thing. And I'm sorry, I know nothing. I'm just a fantasy football player. But that seems like the completely wrong way to approach building your roster and building your franchise in a league where teams are loading up on offensive weapons. They're going to go out and score 28 to 32 points on you every week. And trying to win with defense and grit and running game, it seems very like 1978 to me. Mm. It just seems like a relic. Like Ron's trying to build a relic here instead of keeping up with the Cakes, with the times.
I'm with you.
That's just my take.
I agree that this team needs offense, but you need to stop people too. I mean, you can't have a defense
agree
that ranks
with that, but
29th
but
in the league. Expect to win.
The overwhelming focus, in my opinion, should be becoming a top 10 offense in the league. And I just don't know if they're making the moves to do that or they have the personnel to do it.
Yeah, you're probably right.
You got to build a top 8 to top 10 offense to compete in this league. And if you don't, then what are we doing here? Then you're getting left behind.
Well,
you're an also-ran.
I'll tell you what, that quarterback better work out if you want a top 10 offense.
Yeah.
Because there's big questions
on
that.
You better work out for Carson and for Ron.
All right, let's go to Mike. Mike, what should the Manders do in round 2?
Comms.
Mike, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, man?
Round 2, I think we should go defensive back. You know, I don't know specifically who, but we are paper thin. I agree. I don't think McCain is the answer. I'm not a big fan of Danny Johnson. I mean, he had a small sample size, but not a big fan. But I just want to pivot back to the first round if I can.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should go after Kyle Hamilton. I think that guy is a game changer. He's rangy, and you know what? If his speed isn't there, that's fine. If he's already reading the play, you know, pre-snap, I think that's going to beat speed every time. So that's just my opinion. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you, buddy. I think, you know, they re-signed. Did they re-sign Bobby McCain, or did they just gave him like a 2-year deal?
He got re-signed.
They re-signed him.
Yeah.
They seem to like him. I didn't love him. I know he finished the season better than he started, but that's what makes me think it might. I'm telling you, I think they overvalue the guys they have on their roster.
Oh, I think there's a lot of that happening.
I think they overvalue who they have. They certainly do publicly.
And I knew you were going to take, I said yesterday, I predicted, you're going to take a receiver.
Well, I've said it all along. I mean, I haven't hidden that. I would take a receiver. If I ran this organization, I would take a receiver.
And
I want more weapons.
And I think it's going to be Williams or Wilson. I don't know who, but.
For me?
Depending on who goes ahead of him. If Wilson gets snagged at 8 by the Falcons, then you're going to take Williams.
I just looked at offensive rankings last year and defensive rankings. I'd have to double check, but I wanted to see how many of the top 10 offenses made the playoffs. I think it may be 10 for 10, and then I looked at defenses.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Top 10 defenses, and they include Carolina.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They were awful,
dreadful.
The
Matt Rule's on the hot seat already.
Browns, I believe they missed the playoffs.
They did.
The Bears, they were dreadful.
Awful.
The Saints, they missed the playoffs. And the Broncos, they missed plus. Half the teams that had top 10 defenses
right. Didn't
make the playoffs.
Yeah. Keep building up a defense.
Meanwhile, your top 10 offenses included, yeah. I believe all these teams made the playoffs, correct me if I'm wrong, Cowboys.
Rams, Chiefs.
Buccaneers, Chiefs. Oh, the Chargers, I think, missed.
Yes.
Bills.
But they were on the cusp.
Yes. Ravens, 49ers, Cardinals, Rams, Packers.
Right. So 90%.
And you keep going down. Raiders.
Right.
I mean,
Raiders made the playoffs.
Yeah. So Cakes is correct. You'd much rather have a top 10 offense than a top 10 defense.
All I've been doing is singing it from the mountaintops.
But
for
all of those teams
plus.
You mentioned have either future Hall of Famers or they have all pros at quarterback. I mean, they've got stud quarterbacks.
Right. Well, let's find
and it's not
stud
like those defenses.
I mean, yes, most of them do have stud quarterbacks, but some, I mean, I can't call Kyler Murray a stud quarterback yet.
But he's pretty good.
I mean, number one pick in the
draft.
He's
pretty solid.
Yeah.
But my point, my bigger takeaway is, let's stop focusing so much on the defense. And that's hard to do when you have a defensive head coach and you got Jack Del Rio calling all the shots in the building. It's kind of hard to think about offense when you got a bunch of defensive dinosaurs roaming the hallways.
But, I mean, you still, while I generally agree with you, you still have to be able to play some defense. You have to be able to get off the field.
Play a semblance of defense. It should not be the main thrust and main focus of your team.
Well, I could tell you, being a Commanders, a comms fan, the last 20 years.
Thank you.
That when they can't get off the field on third and long, and they repeatedly give up these long third downs. How many times have we seen that happen over the last 5 years? Or, you know, guys gut you right up the middle, or whatever happens. It's hard to win that way, too.
True, but to Cakes's point, the Super Bowl last year was played between the Rams and the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
Defensively ranked overall in terms of yards per game, 17th and 18th in the league.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right dab in the middle of the league.
Please give me
mediocre defense. Yeah, you'll take that.
But give me a top 10 offense. Otherwise, it's going to be a lot of 6, 7, and 8 win campaigns.
Well, Washington wasn't a mediocre defense.
They were 23rd.
Yep. They allowed 26 points a game. That's not mediocre.
Just get them to 16 to 17. That's all you need.
Hey,
but
fellas,
the offense has to
well,
be
then
better.
If you're going to do 16 to 17, well, then you're the best in the league.
Fellas, we've got Coach Peter Laviolette joining us next. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk Caps. We'll talk about Sammy's horrific goal that he allowed. And the playoffs start next week. But let me tell you about Software AG Government Solutions. Technically speaking, IT complexity, it sucks. But Software AG Government Solutions has the answer. They have a proven track record of modernizing complex and incompatible systems into simple, manageable, scalable IT enterprises. Trusted by the U.S. government and technology leaders, Software AG enables mission-critical solutions with the experience, reliability, and urgency that no one else has. Complex IT simplified. Learn more at softwareaggov.com. That's softwareaggov.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Joining us right now on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. It is Peter Laviolette, head coach of your Washington Capitals. He's presented by Caesars, the official sports book of the Washington Capitals. How you feeling this morning, Coach?
Morning, guys. How are you?
Doing okay. How about you?
Yeah. We're doing okay.
It was a tough one last night. You know, we've been kind of focusing in on, you know, the playoffs and seeding, and you had an opportunity to leapfrog Pittsburgh last night if you had gotten a win. How much are you paying attention to that? Obviously, you got to focus on the team playing well, and you got to deal with Ovi and his injury, but how much are you looking at the standings, and does it matter to you?
Well, I mean, everything, you know, first of all, you want to win a hockey game, right? You're in your home building, and your fans are there. And, you know, it's a chance to get 2 points. It's a chance to possibly move up into third. There was a year where we ended up going to the finals 1 year with a different organization when I was coaching. And We were in ninth place on the last game of the year. We won the game, and we leapfrogged to seventh place.
Wow.
And so, you know, you don't realize it at the time, but you just jump somebody in the standings. We ended up playing the eighth seed team in the conference finals. And so in the third round, after starting on the road, you end up with home ice. And so you never know when, you know, you get an opportunity for some home ice, which is nice, less travel and possible game seven in your building. And so, yeah, I mean, it was an opportunity we had to, you know, move up the standings, and it didn't happen. We just didn't play well enough.
Coach, do you sense an element, too, where you're facing the Islanders? They're out of it. They only have 82 points or 18 behind you. They have no playoff aspirations this year, where they can just go out and just let it all hang out, kind of play loose, and, you know, they got really nothing to play for. Is that kind of a dangerous opponent at this time of the year when you guys are actually looking to leapfrog people and they're not really? They're just playing out the string.
Yeah, I mean, they're still a good team. I mean, the Islanders have been a playoff team for years. It didn't go their way this year. You know, the bottom line is we just didn't play well enough last night. We had played really good hockey for a long stretch, and we were able to, you know, win a lot of games. You know, going back from like March 1st on, we had a couple of tough months, but March 1st on, we were able to win a lot of hockey games and do some good things. Last night, just watching the game, we just didn't have that pop. We didn't have that. What it takes, I think, for our team to be successful. It was a tough night. And, certainly, we want to get back out there. We play them again coming up here, and chance to go back out and get 2 points. So,
all right, we got to address, I think, two big issues before we do anything else. One, Ovi, and two, the goalies. All right, let's start with Ovi. I mean, you talked about what you didn't have last night and the pop and all that stuff, but you also didn't have Ovi. Where are we at with the grade eight?
Well, he's day to day right now, and so you know, he's, for me, I certainly hope that it's nothing that's long term. You know, we're gonna do the right things. He comes in yesterday, he's trying to see where he's at and see if he can get himself prepared, and right now it doesn't make sense to go back into the lineup, and I think that, you know, he'll go in today and again, more treatment and further evaluation. But with the end of the season coming up here, I don't think we want him back until he's 100%. I'm certainly hoping that for game one, he's ready and available. But again, when you're listed as day to day, there are just certain things that we don't know ourselves as to when that might be.
So does that mean, though, essentially, man, that if the playoffs started today, though, it's a different set of parameters than riding out sort of the end of the regular season, right, for you as a coach?
Yes, it does. There's been lots of circumstances, not talking about Ovi, there's been lots of circumstances where, you know, you don't play somebody in game 81 or 82 because the playoffs are coming.
Right.
And, you know, you want to make sure that they're ready for that game. He has something that happened to him, and right now we're treating it, and, you know, like I said, we're hopeful that he's ready for game one. And so
if you had a playoff game yesterday, he wouldn't have played in it.
No.
Wow.
He wouldn't have. Yeah.
I think that's saying something, Cakes.
Sure.
But you feel pretty confident that the playoffs start next Monday or Tuesday, that he would be ready.
That's hopeful.
I'm hopeful. Yeah. You know, I can't say. That's the thing about it, too. Like, you ask me these questions, and I'll say, oh, yeah, he'll be there for game one, no problem.
Right.
And then if he's not there, or if I say, no, he's out on game one for sure, and then he's there in game one, and, oh, well, Coach, he's full of it, you know. So you got to see how, when somebody gets dinged up, you got to see how it comes along. And, you know, if somebody's got something where he's, you know, say, oh, he's going to be 5 days. Well, it could be 3 days, but it could be 7 days too. And so, I think day to day is the right terminology for it. It's not. I don't believe it's long term. You know, so I think day to day is the right terminology. And Alex is in there getting treatment and trying to put himself in a position where he can come back and help us.
I appreciate your honesty, because I think everyone lies, and I think you're not lying.
I'm not lying. No.
Let's get to the goalie question, and you're probably not going to tell us who's going to start in goal for the playoffs.
But I guarantee he's tired of this question.
I'm guessing you have made a decision. Did Sammy's play last night affect the decision?
So, you know, this is when you're talking about our goaltending for the last couple years, both Sammy and Vitek have gone in for stints and played some, and then the other goaltender's gone in and played some. And it's really moved like that. Even though you'd like to try and say, okay, this guy's elevated himself, he stayed here, and this guy hasn't done the job. Both guys have gone in and provided us wins and provided us good play. At times, I think there's the run where Vitek's been really good, or he may come off of it a little bit, and so Sammy goes in, and then Sammy provides some wins. And I guess what I'm saying is that's how our goaltending has moved since I've been here. We've had two young goaltenders. We didn't come in with a number one, and this was the guy that had been here for 5 years, and this is the guy that's the number one goalie. And so when we've played the last, you know, the shortened season last year, and we've played all of this year here, we've relied on both goaltenders. Even down the stretch here, both goaltenders have played some really good games for us, but we played off of them as well. One's gone in for a couple games, and then he comes out, and then the next one goes in for a couple games. And so I think that we're going to do this. We're going to play it out down the stretch here with with two games remaining on the road. We'll get both goaltenders, keep them sharp, and then on game one, we'll name a starter.
Are you, if you've answered this already, I'm sure you have, I apologize.
Yeah.
Are you of the mindset that I would assume you strongly prefer, obviously, you play one guy, he's hot, and you don't even worry about the goaltending situation? Or are you of the mindset that, you know, I believe you, that both these guys have showed that you can win with them, and that you're just going to ride the wave? And so if a guy's hot, you're going to stay with him. If he gets cold, you're going to put the other guy in. Because I almost think it's better just to pick one guy and go with it instead of uncertainty.
I don't disagree with what you're saying. That's what we've tried to do, and I've stated that, you know, that I'd like to get to a point where one guy clearly rises above the other, and we have this situation where we have, this is the number one goalie, this is the guy who's starting. You guys, it would be obvious to you because you see him in there night after night after night after night. And so I'm just saying that's not the way it's been since I've been here. It hasn't gone that way. And yet we found success by using both young goaltenders. And so there may be a chance that that's the way it goes in the playoffs.
Gotcha. So you don't have to pick one. You may just do what you've been doing.
Well, it could very well be that situation.
Yeah.
We'll end up starting a goalie, and if we end up winning the first two games, then that goaltender will probably start the third game. If it doesn't go that way, then, you know, the third game you might change, because that's the way it's been, you know, for a year and a half.
We won a cup that way a couple of years ago, Coach.
Yeah. We did.
Yeah.
We have rings.
I assume that VV's going to play tomorrow night.
We should.
I'm heading into the office right now, and so we're going to talk about that going in there. But they're both, you know, Sammy played last night, so there's a good chance that Vitek will get at least one of these games. Yeah.
All right,
Coach. Best of luck.
Is this the last time we're talking to Coach? Or are we going to talk to him next week during the playoffs?
He likes us. He would do it.
If you have time next week.
He would do it. You would talk to us, right, when the playoffs start?
Yeah, get us all pumped up.
We'll see. We'll see how it works out. I hope it continues.
I think he likes us.
No response.
Why don't you let him speak?
Listen, I'm available when you guys need me.
Love that.
Thank you.
And if for whatever reason I don't talk to you, I'll see you in July down on Beer Can Alley. Down on Beer Can Alley.
Yeah. Oh, Beer Can Alley, right.
We got a picture from a listener that was there this past week. It looks beautiful. Now, I don't want you to see it for like another 2 months.
Right.
Because I want you going in a deep playoff run.
No. I said July. I'll see you down there in July.
Perfect. Love it.
All right, Coach.
But maybe next week. So maybe we'll talk next week. If not, we'll talk mid-July.
Yep. All right, perfect.
All right, good.
All right, thank you, Coach. Appreciate it,
as always. All right, man. All right, take care.
That is Coach Peter Laviolette.
All I want is
to get sunburned on his boat. that's just my dream.
I actually want him to be swept so we can go down to Beer Can Alley and hang out.
Stop that.
Why can't you just wait till July?
I can't wait. Speaking of can't wait, we've got our mock drafts next. All six of us, the four junkies, the two producers, have mock drafts through 11 picks where the Commanders, of course, have their first round pick unless they trade out of it. We'll do that next here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.